It's really sweet when the service is prolonged and I only have 20 or 32 minutes left. I'm liking that. Any other testimonies? Yeah. I'm a really tired man this morning. I worked all day yesterday. I got up before 4 and worked until 6:30. So I had a long, stressful week. The week was really rough. And then to work all day like that, I'm going to eventually get to a point here. And things at work are taking a turn for the worse. And but that's kind of okay. You know why? All right. Of course, glory to God. But also, I think I'm going to retire. Yeah. I think I'm going to retire. We're talking to a financial advisor Friday, a week from this coming Friday. So be in prayer with us about that. And it has been a long journey and still more to go. But I really, this morning, you know, it's kind of funny in speaking in the church. I can't help but go back to some of my early days as a believer in the denomination that I was involved in. There was a huge move to inspire young men to go into the ministry. And as a result of that, it was powerfully effective. And I remember all kinds of things in the church world that I don't know, some may or may not feel all that beneficial to the church world. Not sure. But here are some of the things. And today I'm focusing on the glory of God. That is so easy, isn't it? Talking about the glory of God. As somebody who wants to present a message to a congregation, one of the easiest and the most powerful things to talk about is the glory of God, because we serve God, and we know as believers, we are familiar with, and it is an integral part of our life, the glory of God. From the easy things like creation, when we read in Genesis, we see the heavens and the earth were created by him. And on the seventh day, he sat back and looked at it all and said, "This is good." Didn't he? And I think about some of those beautiful trips and pictures that David and Margaret bring back to us. And the joy that they have in sharing these beautiful trips that they endure. The beautiful mountains, the majestic views, and I'm sure everybody in here has been up on the drive, Skyline Drive, probably everybody has, and you, when you're on a drive, you see this beautiful countryside created by God himself, and we as believers relate to that. This is part of the glory of God, a very small part, though. Now, as a hiker, when you actually walk back into, you trek back into some of those views that other folks are getting off of the drive from their car, that's a whole different kind of majesty and glory to actually be back there where the bears are, right? There's just a different kind of beauty that you see from God's creation when you partake of that, and you get way down in there. And when you get back, you're so thankful that you're still alive. Maybe you take an Advil or something for pain if you just can't stand it, you know. But the glory of God. There was a man named Jesus. Anybody remember the late Rich Mullins? There was a man named Jesus, and he was God. The song said, and he was flesh. And he came down here to lead us out of this burning wilderness. What burning wilderness? Anybody seen the fires on TV? Oh, it's tragic, isn't it? It's really heartbreaking. And I don't know about you, but this global warming thing, it's kind of real, isn't it? There are major river arteries drying up, major lakes. And this isn't just in America. It's Canada, as you've seen on the news, Italy, Greece. There's a global warming. I'm not so convinced that we caused it. I don't know. And that's not what this is about. But this beautiful creation that God has made, the Bible tells us, we relate to this as believers, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, right? It's all going to be brand new. Yes, we are appreciative of the beauty of God in this creation that we live in, that He gave us to live in. But it's going to pass away, and all things become new. And we need not live our lives as if we worship the creation. We worship the creator of the created because we are part of him. So the fire storms that are occurring, have you seen these, they call them firenados, the fiery tornadoes? They're tornadoes of fire. That's horrifying. And the smokenados, right? That's just unbelievable. What's happening in our world today, the earth, the creation is groaning and travailing in pain. What if this is a sign from God? What if it really is? Now, the scientific world, we as believers, and this is part of the glory of God, He has caused us to understand who He is in His own power. He's the one who created the earth. It belongs to Him. Right? He put us here to dwell on it and to take care of it. But in the end, it still yet belongs to Him. Now, the world of science and the world of Christianity really don't philosophically, can I put it that way? They don't dwell very, very well together, do they? Because the world is looking for scientific answers. And I'm sure that we believe in the science to some extent, but we see the creator of the science. We believe in the creation of the heavens and the earth. And so the science, while to a degree is important to us, the creation is way, way beyond that. Here are some things that reveal the glory of God that are natural to us. Our grandchildren were over yesterday evening, and when I got off of work, I was so tired. Just barely hanging on. And here's little Solomon, who's just running around like a mosquito, still for nothing. And then we sit down in Lori's study, and Savannah comes up and says, "Granddad, can I sit in your lap?" And so she sits up in my lap, and I'm just feeling so loved and so adored by my granddaughter. And I hope she always loves and adores me, you know, when she grows up. And I'm older. I love her and adore her. And you can relate to these things. This is a part of an example. This is like an example of the glory of God in small measure. Family relationships. Marriages, right? We love marriages. It as believers, we appreciate marriages. We appreciate couples who stay together for many years and stick it out. Don't we? We love that kind of thing. It creates a stable environment for children, and it shows faithfulness. This is God wants faithfulness from us to Him, right? He reveals this to us, and we become His faithful servants, and we live our lives. And as we age, we have a better and better understanding of what this relationship with God is. He adores us. Does He not adore us? Did He not let Jesus come into this world, not just for the sake of going on a hike, but because He loves us so much? He loved us enough to die for us. But not just to die, but to free us from sin, from this wilderness of fire that was burning in our spirits, in our souls, from being lost. He took that weight upon his own shoulders, the weight of our guilt, the weight of our shame, the weight of our sin and our sinful nature. And not just then, but presently, today, every day, right? He's here for us, and he will calm those storms and those little fires that show up in our lives spiritually. He was God and he was flesh, and he came down here to lead us out of this burning wilderness, spiritual destruction and death. The world is afraid of the pandemic. I'm a little bit concerned about it too. I have some fear about it as a believer, but I'm not overridden with the fear. I don't think we need to be overly afraid of it, the pandemic and the fear that comes across through the news and all of that association. Of course, we all want to live for a long time. And that's only natural for us to want to do that. But things are going to happen. And just as we see the creation in Genesis, and we look at that and we glorify God on behalf of that, we also see the book of Revelation. And we see the ending that's coming. And yet, we cry, even so, come Lord Jesus. Not everybody's going to go to heaven. We've talked about that before. We want everybody to go to heaven. And many people in the world think that just naturally, because God created us all, we're all just going to jump in the heaven boat and ride right on into heaven. But as believers, we know that that's not going to happen. It takes an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. It goes through him. This is God's plan. It's not our plan. It's God's plan. This is his glory, part of his glory, that he has revealed to us. He is willing to forgive us, to bring us out of that miry clay, bring us to himself and glorify him. I do have a few scriptures, but I do not have a central scripture reference. 2 Chronicles 5, verses 12 through 14. This changes the dynamic a little bit. This involves the church world. And some of you may recall, I'm going through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. And he made a statement in one of the studies. He talks about something called churchianity. Yeah, I know it's funny. It is funny. I sat there and I thought of J. Vernon McGee when I read this, and I was thinking how typical it is that he would make a statement like this. And he said, "There is a man in glory, but the church has lost sight of him." That's kind of scary, right? Now, this is kind of opinionated, so I don't want to be overbearing with an opinion from my part, but I think there is the church, and I think there is the fake church. And I think that some of the church world is fake in terms of accepting everything in society and expecting that God's word will conform to what we believe. I think that's fake church. That's not real church. That's not God church. Because as believers, we know that the centrality of our belief is God himself. And we understand God because we read his word and the Spirit of God enlightens us. He brought it to us to be able to believe in him, to be able to follow him. There are many people with different reasons for not following God. I had a conversation with a work associate who adamantly opposes anything relative to God or believing in God. And we were talking about some things, and he said that He believes that we will live forever in memories. Right? That when we die, there is no eternity like a heaven and hell, but just a memory. When you die, your memories will basically float around the atmosphere and someone will pull down one and remember you. And that's your life after you die. What a sad way to live. There's no hope in that. There's nothing in that. I was talking to another fellow worker who doesn't like to talk about things of God. He doesn't like church. He said he does not like, and I get this, he does not like organized religion. I wanted to say something like, what, you like disorganized religion? Hey, wait a minute, you work here at Coffeewood, you don't like organization? Come on. Well, I sort of see his point. And then his other statement was that he said, I don't know how people... He said, I can't believe in the Bible because it's written by so many different people over a large span of time. How can you believe all that? Well, that just immediately revealed to me that he's never read it. And working in the environment that I work in, I have to be very careful, you know, what I say. But the glory of God. How is the glory of God revealed in a conversation like that? What is the effect of the glory of God on those couple of individuals that I just talked to you about? And you have your own stories as well, don't you? You've talked with people about Christ, church. You know. One of the first things people want to do if you want to talk about Jesus is they'll think that you're trying to invite them to church. That falls into that churchianity category, I think. Yeah. That falls into that churchianity thing. Now, let's go. Let me read this to you. This is great. I only have 16 minutes left. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. I didn't get to finish. Way back then, in my early days as being a Christian, there were many young men who really did, as a result of counseling with other church leadership, they felt compelled and called to become preachers of the gospel, like preachers in church settings. And so as a result, many, many revival services were had, and right many of these men that were my age, we were in our early 20s, went into full-time ministry. Some of whom became pastors, some traveling evangelists. I never kept track of everyone because back then you didn't have all the, you know, technology that you have today to keep in touch with people. But many people's lives were affected by this desire. We went to, Lori and I, when we used to sing around a lot, we used to go to this church. It was the Jeffersonton Baptist Church. And Pastor Marshall Breland, huh? Yeah, what she said. He loved us coming, and I remember he would make a plea before and after the speaker would come for people to become more involved in God, basically. And my mind would go back to that, those times of remembering all of these services where young men would come for prayer concerning wisdom about whether or not going to go into the ministry. And I thought about this little Baptist church in Jeffersonton that seemed to be failing, if I can put it that way. Now, we each have our own opinions concerning these things, but I remember we were talking to something that was said up here a while ago reminded me of, I think it was Will, I don't remember what you said, but it reminded me when this church was meeting on, what was that street name in town when the earthquake hit? East Street, and then went into Open Door, right? Open Door let us use their space. That's when Lori and I started coming. But I remember you had a youth service. Well, no, it wasn't a youth service. It was a time at the beginning of the service where all of the youth had come back from a retreat, I believe it was. And there was an overwhelming number of testimonies from the youth group talking about how they had been enlightened and inspired to get into the Word of God and just take it slowly. Not about the volume of the reading, but about focusing and meditating on Scripture. I remember. I don't remember those testimonies verbatim, but I sat there during that time where one at a time in the group would stand up and give their little testimony. I was like totally overwhelmingly blessed. I really was. And it rejuvenated me for a while. This is part of the glory of God, right? When you see the work of God in the lives of youth, and then I think, where are they today, right? That's not a criticism, right? It's not. Where are they today? Are they worshiping elsewhere, or are they fallen, you know, by the wayside, struggling, maybe? I don't know, but we need to think about some of these things in youth in our church. This is part of the family of God. This is the glory of God, part of it, right? The elder and the youth all being together and working together that way. That's part of God's plan. Okay, I am going to get to these scriptures here. Chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 of 2 Chronicles. And all the Levites who were singers, and all of those of Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, with their sons and kinsmen, arrayed in fine linen, having cymbals and harps and the like, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 100 priests blowing trumpets. Can you imagine that? 120 priests blowing trumpets. Now, these weren't trumpets, right? Because the trumpets with all of the little moving parts weren't there then. They were like bull horns and things, right? Oxen horns or whatever. Shofars, maybe they were called. You ever heard of a shofar? I have a sister who has a shofar. It's called, and it's a horn. It's like a natural horn from an animal. So it says that they were there blowing trumpets, and when the trumpeters and singers were joined in unison, now I just had this picture of, and it's probably from the Cornerstone Band, that they were warming up their instruments, 120 of them, but they didn't need to get warm, did they? That's just my own particular meaningless imagination there. But when the 120 priests blowing their trumpets and the singers were joined in unison, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and other instruments for song and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good, for his mercy endures forever." Or his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And then the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. Now, this is a different kind of glory of God, a different aspect, a different portion of the glory of God. And so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I was thinking about this in regards to my own personal experiences with the church world in the past, in my earlier days. And a lot of the things that occurred just really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. However, maybe it's not so much my responsibility to make all of these stereotypes about it all, because God is God. Now, there are things I remember a pastor who would say, for all of you who didn't come up here, you missed out, because like they felt that the Shekinah glory was just at the front of the church at around the altar, and that the people that sitting back there didn't experience that. Well, that's, you know, that's, I don't, there's not a lot of, you see where I'm going, right? Right, but at the same time, we have to be careful not to judge and criticize other people and their faith. There were many people who have gone on before us, did not have access to all of the things that we do today in understanding the writings from Greek manuscripts and the interpretations and applications. There have been many people who have gone before us that didn't know any of those things. And yet, God, in His glory, saved them. And God, in His glory, He kept them. God, in His glory, gave them songs of praise in their hard times in life. Because of His glory, it is His glory. Rich Mullins said, and there is such a thing as glory, and there are hints of it everywhere. So yes, in the creation, the majestic mountains, the sands around the oceans that keep the oceans at bay, right? All of those things that are described in the scriptures. Yes, they're all real because there's such a thing as glory, but there's a man in the glory that you and I do see that distinguishes the real church of God from something else that is not accurate. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't speak to hearts of people in environments that really seem to be anti the ways of God, but yet operate under the guise of church. If you read Old Testament, you'll remember there are times where God says, "You bring these offerings to me, I don't want them. You say these chants and you say these prayers, but I don't want anything to do with you. I do not recognize you." And this was even spoken of to the priesthood. And look what Jesus did as a continuum to that. We're familiar with this. The scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees were the religious leaders of the day, supposedly carrying forth the laws to the people. Look what that digressed into. Is there a similarity to what we're seeing today spiritually? Of course there is. There is. But there are so many people who do want the truth, and it's just being overshadowed by those who are in opposition. We still have a job to do because the glory of God is at work in our lives. We know this is true not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. And our surrender to Him. So glory to God. We sing songs like "Glory to His Name." Remember that hymn? "Down at the cross where my Savior died." Glory to His name. We sing of His glory. The earth declares His glory. The heavens declare His glory. We declare His glory because of what He's done in us and through us. The sun, one day in its brightness, will be gone. You read that in the Revelation. Because the sun will no longer be needed. The glory of God will rule. There will be no darkness. I have difficulty soaking some of these things in sometimes. Have you ever had a good nighttime walk? Have you ever appreciated a moonlight walk? I have. I appreciate the darkness from those perspectives. Now, I don't know if the darkness is literally totally gone. There will never be darkness again. I really don't know how that works. But the darkness of sin and death, that will certainly be gone. The darkness of heartbrokenness and tears, it'll be gone. It will be gone forever through all the eons of eternity. His glory is revealed through His Word. Living out loud this Christian life shows His glory. Living this life out loud shows that. His real church shows His glory. His real church declares the truth. Andy's been speaking some on the churches and mentioned in Revelation. And there's a lot to take hold on. There's a lot of deep challenge for you and I as part of this church world today. You and I being part of this church, part of God's family. This is the glory of God, part of His glory. Now, I think maybe some of the older church and maybe some of the church world today takes some of its habits and type of worship from passages of Scripture like we just read. I think that has been an influence in the lives of people. And my question is, why do we have to be at odds with people about these little things? Isn't it God's glory? Doesn't the church belong to Him? It's His church, the real church. It's His. There are different methods of doing things. So you have the Methodists. There's so many ways of approaching this and applying it to the body of Christ in settings such as ours. So when these disagreements become divisive, don't you think the world sees that? Well, this church says this and this church says that. Well, which one is right? What a great tragedy we create when we do that. That's not the glory of God. The glory of God is that we follow Him and follow His instructions. The story of... I only have 60 seconds to bring this out. The story of the birth of Christ when the angel appeared and the heavenly host appeared, right? Saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Isn't that glorious? That's part of God's glory, culminating in the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And a little bit further down in verse 19 of that chapter in Luke, it says that Mary weighed these things heavily on her heart. She took them seriously. They meant a lot. Now, the glory of God can also be something that's heavy, heavy in spirit. This morning when I was pondering the glory of God, I was sitting on the couch with one leg crossed over the other, right? And I must have been there quite a while. And when I went to get up, my foot, from the lack of circulation, was so heavy. I had to wait until the circulation got back down to my foot, and then I could start walking on it. It felt like really heavy. But this is not what God wants us to be like as far as the weight of His glory. Right? It's not a dead weight. It's something that we weigh heavily on our hearts, and it plays a deep part in our lives every day. Wow, I had so much more prepared. Can you believe it? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for Your glory that You've revealed to Yourself to us. We thank You for the glory of Your salvation in that You revealed it to us, that someone You sent along planted that seed in our heart, that someone came along and watered it, and that somehow You softened us so that the very depth of our soul was cultivated and could receive this. Thank You, Lord. This is truly glorious. We serve a glorious God. And we worship you, Lord. And everybody said, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Okay.